Good morning. Let's pray before we get started. So, Lord, just thank you for your word. And will you speak to us this morning through your word? And will you form us together by your word? Amen. Amen. So we're continuing our sermon series that looks at one of our core values, which is exploring. And this morning we'll be focusing on risk-taking and how taking risks is part of our God-given DNA. Now the Bible's just packed full of stories of heroic people risking everything for their faith. And I especially like how the writer of Hebrews in chapter 11, how he describes like several of these people. And he tells these stories like about Abraham, for example, and how Abraham risked his life by leaving everything behind to pursue the promises of God. So he sought after the promised land, and he gave up, risked everything to pursue that promise that he and Sarah would have a son, and that promise that through him, God would make a great nation. And he risked everything. He even risked losing out on God's promises when he was told by God to sacrifice a son. And Abraham was willing to go through with it until God stopped him. And then the writer goes on to mention about Moses. But he begins with the faith of Moses' parents, who they weren't afraid of Pharaoh's edict to have all Hebrew baby boys killed. So they hid him at first, but then they let him go downstream in faith that God would protect him. And he does. And Moses was found, raised in Pharaoh's courts, where he would one day risk everything by rejecting Pharaoh. And he stood in defense of the Hebrews. And then in that chapter, the list goes on and on. And even the writer of Hebrews says in 11:32, "And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell you of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David, of Samuel, and all in the prophets." I mean, we love these stories of heroic leaders who will risk everything for what they believe in. And it appears that God loves these stories too, because there's so much of the Bible just made up of them. Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego story from this morning's reading. And that doesn't even make the cut in Hebrews, because there are too many to mention without losing the audience's attention, like I probably have already. But heroic leaders are great. And I'm so thankful that throughout human history, God has been able to raise them up when they were needed. Even like the more modern ones, I would say, like Martin Luther King. Just a few days ago was Martin Luther King Day in America, because he's another one of those iconic heroic leaders who risked everything for what he believed, for what he believed in, and the world's better off because of it. I mean, heroic leaders, they make for great stories. And they were needed at particular points in history to either take down kingdoms or to shift a society's way of thinking. But I, for one, am glad that I'm not an heroic leader. Heroic leaders that make up our history books and a lot of the Bible only make up just this microscopic portion when compared to the rest of us. They're kind of a once in a generation sort of thing. And I don't ever really want to be put in that position, where I would have to choose between what I believe in or giving up one of my kids or my life. So God, please don't make me out to be a hero. But all of that risk-taking stuff is in our DNA as the body of Christ. It's part of this new creation that we've been called into. 2 Corinthians 5 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come." So, of course, we're all familiar with the story of Jesus. I mean, as a church, I would hope so. But he is the true heroic leader. All of these other leaders we've talked about to this point were formed by him, and they all point to him. And Jesus did roam this earth as 100% human. And we don't tend to think of the humanness of Jesus quite as much as we should. Because yes, he is fully God, and the fullness of God was pleased to dwell in him, but he was also very much fully human. And when the nails were driven through his hands, it hurt. And when the crown of thorns was forced on his head, it stung. And when he was made a mockery, and the ones he loved rejected and abandoned him, it was heartbreaking. Through Jesus, the fullness of God came in flesh and experienced about everything there is to experience of the human condition. Our deepest fears, pains, and heartbreaks, as well as our purest joys. But Jesus put himself through all of that out of his love and trust in God the Father. He did it out of his obedience and trust that God the Father would bring about something better through his sacrifice. Like in John 14, Jesus said, "But I do as the Father has commanded me." And in John 8, he said, "And he who has sent me is with me, and he has not left me alone, for I will always do the things that are pleasing to him." And then again in 14, John 14, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." So the fullness of God, which is Jesus, came to us so that we can go to him. And Jesus also said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." Now, we don't take risks without trusting that something else will bring about a better outcome. So we will be willing to give something up that's valuable to us and trust that something better or more valuable will come along. So our something else that we are trusting in to bring about something better is our faith in who Jesus is and his call to take up our cross and follow him. Now, a leader is one who clears the way for others to follow. And now the last thing that Jesus told his followers were, he said, "Go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded, and behold, I am with you always until the end of the age." As Christians, we've been called to bet everything on Jesus. Now, Jesus explains to his disciples what taking up our cross means and looks like when he says, "For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." Now, we believe that the best thing that we can do for ourselves, for all of humanity, for all of creation, is to obey the commands of Jesus, trusting that he is bringing about something better. Remember what the Great Commission says: make disciples and teach them to obey all that I have commanded. Now, we usually kind of like to skim over that part, I think. We like the make disciples and baptizing them, and really like that he's with us until the end of the age. But these aren't words that we like to hear in this day and age, that Jesus expects us to obey his commands. This freedom of choice is a huge thing in our society. That's something that we really value. We've put, a very unhealthy amount of value on our personal freedom of choice. Now, following Jesus isn't about becoming a better, happier version of yourself. Jesus isn't a means to our end. And that's what a culture that values choice too heavily has trained us to look for. Following Jesus means trusting that if we would just quit living like that, stop pursuing our own happiness above all else, and start doing the things that Jesus has told us to do, then we would begin to see God's kingdom here on earth, and so will others. God loves us and all of creation a whole lot more and better than we ever could. He loves us so much that he risked losing his beloved son, trusting that it would bring about something better for all. Like that, the temptation in the wilderness, it was no joke. It could have all gone horribly wrong right there. But Jesus' love and trust in the Father is the thing that saves us. I've often said that the one who gets the most out of a sermon is the one who preaches it. And I'm sure that's the case with this one. Because I wish all of you could go through the process of putting a sermon together. This one was a particularly hard one for me. And it's one of those that I think I need to go away and think and pray through this more, because I never quite realized just how much God risked for our sake. And I've never fully considered the extent of the humanness of Jesus, and that this is the image that we have been called to bear as the body of Christ. That God in the flesh, the image of a God that is willing to sacrifice what he loves the most in hope that it will bring about something better for all. So let's just close in prayer. So Lord, will you please teach us more about the sacrifices that you've made for us, the risks that you've taken. And will you please expose those areas in our lives that we are placing our trust, where we're valuing more than you in belief that they will provide a better outcome. But thank you that you are a God that takes extraordinary risks for our sake. And please give us the boldness to do the same for others. Amen.